It didn't have the same of what they've set forth now. So now they've set forth very clear understanding about compensation, about it is not law, it is not required, who will be paying it if it's not being paid by the seller.
Welcome to the Northwest Real Estate Roundup, the podcast where real estate meets reality. I'm your host, Steve Tytler, coming to you with 4 decades of experience in the trenches of real estate and the mortgage business. Today, we're diving deep into the tools, tips, and trends that make the industry tick. Join us as we unpack the secrets to success in real estate, share expert advice, and spotlight the innovators who are shaping our industry. Let's get started. Welcome to the Northwest Real Estate Roundup. And today's guest is very successful Eastside real estate agent, Erica Nash. Now, this is a breaking news alert. We're interrupting our regular programming to talk about something that is very, very important in the real estate industry right now. I interviewed Erica previously, and we did a great interview where you talk about tips for buyers and sellers and real estate agents. We're going to air that next week. But right now, we want to talk about what some people are calling the biggest change in the real estate industry in 100 years. And that is the National Association of Realtors, or NAR, or NAR, as we call it in the business, on March 15th, settled a massive class action lawsuit involving real estate commissions. They agreed to pay over $400 million, but more importantly, they did some big changes to the rules. And Erica, are you getting questions about this already from your sellers and buyers?
I am. Yes, it's been all over the news, of course. So it was, I mean, it's still nonstop. You're seeing it on, you know, Twitter and videos that people are doing and agents talking about it. So I do think it's definitely something to be brought to everyone's attention and discussed, because I think it can be a little bit confusing for some. It's new, obviously, we all just found out as well. But yes, they definitely have clients asking, sellers especially. And so that was kind of a conversation as soon as it came out across the media, right? So as you said, they settled the lawsuit.
I'm going to read a real quick summary of what happened.
For people
not sure what's going on. Okay, so this is on March 15th, just a few days ago, they settled this, and here's what they said. As part of the settlement, in addition to paying out over $400 million, they changed some major rules. And this is for the NAR, National Association of Realtors. The settlement bans NAR from establishing any sort of rules that would allow a seller's agent to set compensation for a buyer's agent. That's a major, major change. They also said that all fields displaying broker compensation in the MLS, which means multiple listing systems, must be eliminated. So it used to be, as a real estate agent, you could look on the MLS and you say, oh, if I sell this house, I'll make 2.5% commission as a buyer's agent. That's gone, totally eliminated. The settlement also mandates that MLS participants working with buyers must, not should, but must enter into a written buyer broker agreement. So these are massive changes happening. And what's your initial response to how this is going to affect your business?
Yeah, I think what I'm struggling with myself is that the lawsuit's obviously alleging that this was happening, right? With me going in to a listing appointment, it's never been, this is what you have to pay. It's always been a negotiation. And I've been very upfront about that. Even before leaving, you know, the meeting, it's here's what my fees are. And here's what is generally expected on the other side. It's not required by any means. But I think it's hard because you get out there, and this is something that I was explaining to my client, was why would you potentially want to be the one offering a lower commission when the person down the block is offering, you know, 0.5% more? So I don't know how much it's going to change things, to be honest with you, Steve. I don't. I know, like, the pieces that you had said, the Northwest MLS has not made a decision yet whether they are going to require that we do not publish that anymore. And like I said, it never was published publicly. And a couple of years ago, they made it published publicly, which I never quite understood the rule for that. But as an MLS member, yes, you can go in also and see the compensation for the buyer brokerage side. So they haven't made a decision on that piece yet. And then, yes, at the beginning of this year, Washington state law also changed that we have to enter into a buyer brokerage agreement. So I think they were kind of jumping and getting ahead of this, right? We knew it had been going on. We always had a buyer's agreement that was an option. Most brokers that I talked to, buyer's brokers, we didn't force people to sign them. It was an option and it felt uncomfortable, to be honest with you. It didn't have the same of what they've set forth now. So now they've set forth very clear understanding about compensation, about it is not law, it is not required. Who will be paying it? If it's not being paid by the seller, then what the options are there. So now here, we already have that all laid out with the buyer and it is required.
Okay, let me read some of the statement that the local MLS put out.
Yes.
Now this is from the Northwest Multiple Listing Service, which is the MLS Multiple Listing Service that covers the whole state of Washington, right? Doesn't it cover all of it or pretty much?
I believe it's down into Oregon as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So this podcast is aimed at Washington State agents, sellers, and buyers. So here's what they said. This is part of the statement they issued a couple days after the big NAR settlement. They said, beginning in 2019 and continuing in 2022, NWMLS made changes to its rules, forms, and procedures to address the issues raised by the national litigation, which is that suit against NAR, and outlined in the proposed settlement. The NWMLS changes enhance transparency, consumer choice, and negotiation opportunities related to broker compensation. Mm-hmm. NWMLS' most recent efforts in cooperation with the Washington Realtors culminated in revisions to the Washington State Agency Law, which is state law, that went into effect January 1, 2024. So just the beginning of this year, we have brand new state law on this. And the state law says the brokers are now required to enter into a service agreement to represent a buyer, which is one of the primary practice changes that were announced in that NAR settlement. Because as you mentioned,
right,
we've had broker agency in the state for many, many years, but it was encouraged to have agents sign a buyer's agency agreement with their clients, but not required.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's required. Right. So how do you think that's going to change things?
I don't see this as making a big impact. And some of the reasons are the same as always. You get what you pay for. You pay a service fee when you go to a restaurant, you know, for service, things like that, as far as, you know, tipping goes and things like that. So this isn't new. We've always paid a service fee for something. Can sellers and go to discount brokerage? Sure, they've been around forever. But frankly, it's my clients still hire me for a reason, whether it's on the listing or the buying side, right? So I just don't really believe that it's going to change. I think it's going to take a lot to change it if it does. Are you going to have some discount brokers going out there and negotiating their own commission if it gets to that? Yes, but you kind of have always had that, right? Whether they were maybe giving compensation back to their buyer or back to the seller, it's always been part of a negotiation. As far as the selling side goes, or as the listing agent, we also have a fiduciary duty to our clients, right? So when I'm being asked, do you think this is going to make an impact on when I list my home, if I now am going to offer a 1% commission? Yes, like I said before, It's a problem. Steering is not supposed to be allowed. Does it still happen? Sure. A buyer's agent possibly is going to take them to a different house that's offering a better commission. It's just the truth when it comes down to it. But I do think changing what's worked for a long time, and a lot of the headlines are saying 6%. We don't see 6% that often, if ever. Like, I can't tell you how many times on the buyer's side, as a buyer's agent, that I've seen 3%. So the reality is it has gone down from what it used to be already. Is it going to continue to keep going down? I don't know. I mean, we've got 1.3 million agents in the US right now, which I think is probably the biggest thing is going to change right now. I saw a recent stat that half of those agents did one deal or less last year. It probably is going to impact those agents a lot more.
Well, Erica, I'm a lot older than you, so I know the history of this because I got my first real estate license here in Washington State in 1988. And back in the 80s, real estate agents all represented the sellers. And Washington State changed the law in the early 90s to change it so that real estate agents were required for the first time ever to disclose in writing whether they were representing the buyer or the seller in the transaction. That was a big change. And I remember in the 80s, believe it or not, agents were not too crazy about that idea because they didn't like to disclose. Because the way it worked in the 80s and prior to that, every agent was an agent of the seller. And so when somebody's riding around with Erica and you're a great agent, you're showing them lots of houses, you're talking to them, you're in constant communication with them, at that time, the buyers assumed you were working for them.
Right.
When technically, now this is the 80s, not now. In the 80s, you would technically represent the seller. So if I'm a buyer talking to you and you're showing me a house that's listed for $700,000, I say, we're going to offer $650,000, but just so you know, we're willing to go the full price of
$700,000. Yeah.
That, as an agent, in those days, you would be required to pass that information on to the seller. And so it was a big, big, big problem. So they changed the law in the 90s and you had to choose. Am I representing the buyer? Am I representing the seller? And you can also have the option of representing no one and just being a transaction coordinator. But it really caused a boom in buyer agencies. So today we have tons of buyer's agents who are working strictly for the buyer. And personally, I think that's a great idea because you can work for the buyer. And I know, Erica, you're primarily a listing agent. Is that correct?
You know, I actually, because people say that to me a lot. And it's like last year I went and looked back and I think it was 50-50, but I can see why, just like you said, you do think it's a good thing because how can you accurately and 100% like represent your client if you're working on both sides of it? Now you're a mediator, right?
Exactly.
So you're not a negotiator, you're mediating because it's, yes, you don't disclose on either side who's willing to pay what or take, you know, how much it gets. And I think that's a lot of reason why some agents don't do dual agency because it can. And I think it also sets you up for a lot of liability in that sense, because it's very difficult to advise as opposed to be the mediator, right?
Exactly. And that's why I love buyer's agency, because you can be a strong negotiator.
You have to be, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And it takes skills on both sides. It does, right? It's a different skill listing than it is, especially in this market, a skill of, you know, putting together and knowing and being educated on how to get a home for your client when there's multiple offers in there. So it is, I do think it's needed on both sides. I'd like to go back in time and see how that worked then.
Well, I think that, again, it's great to have buyer's agents who can negotiate. I'm in the mortgage business now, but I started out in real estate. And the reason I liked the negotiation part, the numbers crunching, that's how I switched from real estate into the mortgage business. But I love to be a negotiator and try to cut a deal for my buyer, Because when you're working as a buyer's agent, you have their best interest in heart. It doesn't matter what the seller wants. You try to get the best deal for the buyer. Now, unless you are a buyer's agent, you have to work for the seller. And so it puts you in a, you're more like a salesperson at a retail shop. If somebody comes to a listing agent like you, says, Erica, I want to buy this house you have listed, you can work with them and talk to them, but you have to have, you know, a fiduciary responsibility to the seller. And so basically, again, you're like a salesperson in a retail store selling a product.
Right. And that was, there were, you would have as a listing agent, you, there were buyers out there that were smart that would come to you and say, this is how much I can pay you, work out the commission with your client, right? Because they wanted to save money on the purchase price side.
Yeah.
But that also changed with the listing agreement. That is all laid out exactly what's going to happen. If somebody comes to my open house and asks me to represent both sides, this is already predetermined in our seller, in our listing agreement now, which is, was also newer, on what specifically that's going to be. So as you can see, it is negotiated, right? It is a conversation that's being had. You see different percentages on the buying side all the time for agents. It's like Russell Wilson's $22 million house still on the market, but he's not offering 2.5%. I mean, that's a $22 million house. That's a drastic difference that you're talking, right? So you negotiate that, right? And that's, in my opinion, that's fair. It hasn't sold yet, but it's fair, you know, because that's a much larger sale price and a much larger commission. So I don't know. I think I think that clearly there was something going on here where judge ruled in favor. To me, it's always been a negotiation, like I said in the beginning. So it's too bad. But
I think in other areas, in the NAR owned MLS, I think it was more cut and dried that what the commission structure was going to be. That's my impression. I don't know that for a fact, but I know as I just said, the local MLS, multiple listing service, is not owned by NIR. It's owned by the agents in the area. So the rules are different. And frankly, Washington State's been a lot more proactive in the pro buyer's agent side. So a lot of things are already in place, such as the written agreement, which is now required for buyer's agent.
Right.
Now the idea, the reason behind the lawsuit was to try and reduce the cost to the seller, which would theoretically reduce the price of homes. That was their goal. Do you think that's going to happen?
I don't see it right now. I don't. I mean, I understand if that was the goal, because I know it is a struggle for buyers right now, particularly in our area. Home prices are very high. But I feel like the market determines the price of a home, right? Even with just like the market is kind of still going to market along with the seller's choice and your agent, and negotiating with your agent is going to still continue to set the commission prices on the commission on the buying side. So I really don't see here. I don't think we're going to have a big change when it comes to that. But we'll just have to wait out and see. I feel like nationally, maybe there's going to be a much, much more impact, but locally, I just don't see it. We have such low inventory. It's, you know, it's, you still have the, you know, I had told you in the podcast we did earlier this week, 23 offers on a house recently. And so it, that when you have a market like that too, it's going to be, it would be so tricky to like figure out if the buyers are going to be negotiating the commission, which is what they're kind of talking about. Like, how are you going to do that when you're going up in a, you know, against 20 other people? Nobody's going to know what's going on. And then I think the other piece is that if they do decide to, they do decide to post your take off the cost for the on the MLS specifically, it's just going to be a different, you know, piece. It's going to be the agents picking up the phone and saying, hey, is your seller offering commission on this or not? And then it's going to be, a whole other conversation. So sorry, Steve.
Okay.
Can you hear the dog?
Yeah, I can hear it. Yeah, that's fine.
That's Wrigley.
Right. Okay, there you go. So as you just mentioned, we did another interview with you, which will air next week, and that's a great podcast. You're going to want to check out that episode because Erica goes over what's happening in the local real estate market, tips for buyers and sellers and real estate agents in that market. That's going to air next week, but right now we're doing this breaking news update that is replacing that and to cover this thing. Now, the toughest thing in this rule change is going to be for the buyer's agents who are working exclusively or primarily with buyers.
Yeah.
Because they're going to have to figure out how are they going to get paid. Now, I want to emphasize, these rule changes for the NAR don't go into effect till mid-July. So we're a few months out, but this is a hot topic. Everybody's talking about it, and we're trying to figure out what's going to happen. But as a buyer's agent, it's going to be very, very difficult getting paid under the new rules because the traditional method is whatever the listing, well, you can correct me on this, but when you list a home, do you typically split 50% of the commission with the selling agent or not?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So in a typical listing, the listing agent, the commission to the seller is 5%, of which 2.5% goes to the listing agent, 2.5% right. goes to the selling agent. That system has worked great for decades. But
right.
now it's up in the air and that's going to go away. So what is apparently going to happen is that listing agent now will probably still make the same 2.5% they always did. And so that means the seller is going to pay a 2.5% commission, which sellers love. They're going, great. That cuts mm-hmm. my commission expense in half. But how do the buyer's agents get paid? And that's going to be a really tricky thing. Some people have suggested buyer's agents might have to start working on an upfront fee paid by the buyer, such as $950 per deal, and I'll drive around and negotiate for you or whatever. So that's going to be very difficult. And
oh, well,
what happens.
Yeah. that will be tough. I will be very upfront that I will not be taking a $950 fee to be driving all around the city, showing houses and working. And I'll be very honest with you too. Some deals come in very easy and some could take a year. And I'm not kidding when I say that. So it mm-hmm. is going to be very tricky. Are there going to be some agents that agree? Again, it's the same thing as a discount listing agent, right? Yes, sure there are, but I will not lower my standards myself to that. I'm fair when it comes to something like that. That would be, that would not be worth my time or my energy. And then I think something that we didn't, when you're talking about them the buyers negotiating the commission, like how does it work on the VA side, right? Or how does it work on you can't take a loan out to pay commission. So you're talking about having, if somebody's still asking for the same commission, those aren't allowed, like, right? So VA loans, I think, don't they require the seller to pay the commission, as far as I know.
Well, yeah, there are restrictions on that. We happen to specialize in VA loans. There are certain restrictions that some closing costs sellers are required to pay and that buyers mm-hmm. are not allowed to pay. So that can be a unique problem for VA loan buyers,
yeah,
which is a fantastic
right.
program. We love the VA loan program because veterans and active military can buy a home with no money down. It's a great deal, and we're doing a lot of them. But you're right. That's another major problem because the
yeah.
government regulations state what the buyers can pay and what they can't pay. And so
right.
this is going to be very complicated.
It will be complicated. I'll be curious to see, you know, how it takes effect. I don't think anything's going to happen right away, right? Like I've had my sellers asking and I don't, and kind of what I, you know, you don't as a seller, yes, you are paying both of those fees, but you're selling, all my sellers are selling and buying. They're not selling and renting. You're not paying that on the other side as well. So you can consider it a wash if you look at it that way. It is like the one-time fee, and then you're not paying it on when you go to be a buyer again. Now, if that changes, that will be very tricky to explain. But in my experience with my seller, he's very understanding, and his response was, because he saw it come out, and he just said, great. Thank you for the explanation. That makes sense. I really appreciate it. Let's stick to the 2.5%. So it will be a conversation every time, and I'm perfectly fine having it, but we'll just see how, like I said, how it rolls out.
Well, I would think as a seller, they're going to want to pay the commission, because how else are they going to get good agents to show the property?
Right. And that again goes to the, you get what you pay for, right? If you're just having somebody that's coming in and unlocking the door for somebody and doesn't know how to put together a good offer, you want the best buyer's agent as well on the other side, so that they can put together a good offer and advise their agent and, or their buyer, and say, look, this is a very competitive market. You are going to have to put your best foot forward and pay the most you can for the house. And so in that, in return, right, the seller is, in my opinion, getting their money's worth and getting that money back in their pocket. So,
and that's been a long time arguing about who actually pays that commission. You know, sellers say, hey, I'm paying a 5% commission, so I'm paying the buyer, a buyer's agent, half of that. But then the buyer's agent were trying to say, wait a minute, all of the money in this transaction is coming from my client, the buyer. You would have no money if I didn't buy the house and provide you with that money. So therefore, my buyers are putting up the money to help pay my commission. So that has been the argument over the years, and we'll see how that goes. And again, the idea behind the suit is home prices are going to come down because overall real estate commissions will be lower. But you're saying that's probably not going to happen, right?
I just don't see it. Like I said, is you with the get what you pay for. If you want a good buyer's agent on the other side, you're going to continue to keep paying that commission, because if not, they're going to take their client right down the street to somebody else who's paying that commission. Now, it's not to say that their client can't steer them back and say, no, I want this house, right? But it's very tricky. The new buyer's agreement also says, which is kind of shocking for the MLS, it also says, I agree to show any and all houses, or I don't, which is like really shocking when you read it on paper to me, because that's your job as a buyer's agent, right? You show them whatever house they want to see. And actually, the biggest complaint from buyers always is, don't show me the houses I don't want to see. Don't show me the houses that are outside of my budget, you know, that sort of thing. That's always been a big buyer's complaint about agents that they don't enjoy working with. But yeah, I think it's going to be tricky on all accounts. I think that with our competitive market, though, that I think we'll stay strong. I just don't see it with the inventory. Like I said, I don't see home prices coming down, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's tough for buyers right now, really tough.
So,
as I said, this is a breaking news update of the podcast. Next week, we'll be back with Erica with a previously recorded interview where we talk about great tips for home buyers, sellers, and real estate agents. So, Erica, go ahead and give us your contact information right now for people who would like to get a hold of you, either as a buyer or a seller, or maybe another real estate agent.
Yeah, you can email me at erica.nash@compass.com, or give me a call or text anytime, 425-410-3865.
Great. Thank you for joining us today for this special update on the podcast, Northwest Real Estate Roundup. I'm Steve Teitler. I'm the owner of Best Mortgage. If you have any friends, family, coworkers, or neighbors who are thinking about buying, selling, or even refinancing, give us a call at Best Mortgage, and we'll give everyone honest advice you can trust. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. Please subscribe, tell your friends, and we'll see you next week. In this case, we're going to be back again with Erica, so we'll see you then.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you for joining us on today's journey through the dynamic world of real estate and mortgages. I'm your host, Steve Teitler, and this has been the Northwest Real Estate Roundup. Don't forget to subscribe for more expert advice, tips, and stories that empower you as a real estate professional. If you have questions or topics you want covered, drop us a line at our website. Until we meet again, here's to your success.